Well, good evening. I appreciate another opportunity to be able to be before you and to speak from God's Word. I'm going to go ahead and begin by telling on myself and apologizing to begin with because I got here before services started and my handy-dandy flash drive that was supposed to have my PowerPoint on it, and I plugged it into the computer and went to pull it up, and I had put my notes on the flash drive that had the same title instead of my PowerPoint. So we're going to be flying blind tonight, so bear with me. I'm sorry we won't have PowerPoint this evening, but hopefully maybe you can fill in the outline from what I'm saying to some degree. So just wanted to begin with that, but I'm thankful for another opportunity to be up here before you and to be able to speak from God's Word. So I appreciate what Brother Dumas said for us is kind of an excellent segue into what we're going to talk about tonight. And so as we become Christians and we become a new person, is what Mr. Dumas said, is that we're to be set apart. We're someone entirely new. That as we become Christians, that we're called to be holy. We see the term holy used, which literally means to be set apart. That as Christians, that's what it means. That we're to be different from the world, set apart from the world, set apart from the way that people act, from society, from the typical, the norm, that we're to be different. And to some level, we're all kind of aware of that. We're aware that being a Christian means living a different lifestyle, being set apart to a certain degree. And so this evening, we're going to look at three points, three things about being set apart. We're going to look at why we should be set apart, how we can be set apart, and then the benefits of being set apart, of being disciples and followers of Christ. So, if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as we'll be now, as we look at why we are to be set apart. Why we are to be set apart. And so in Romans chapter 8, in verses 28 and 29, we'll see here that it's God's design. That it's been God's plan all along for His people to be set apart, for His people to be different. We even see that in the Old Testament, back when that He made the Israelites His people, that they were to be different. That they acted differently from the other people around them, that they weren't to marry and intermingle with them, that they weren't to be a part of the world, of other societies. That they were to be different, that they were to be set apart, that all along this has been God's plan. And in verse 28 in Romans chapter 8, if you're there with me now, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren." So we see here that as Paul is writing to the church in Rome, that he says that he's destined us to be, that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That we're to become Christ in that sense. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that God made us in His image. That He made us in His image. And we can't know for sure because we don't know what God looks like if physically we're made in His image. But we do know that God thinks and that God feels and that God decides. And then in that same way, we're capable of those things as well. That we think and we feel and we decide. And so we know at the very least that in that sense, we're made in God's image. That we're capable of those things. That God designed us to be capable of becoming like Christ. Of putting on an image like Him. Of putting on an image like Christ. That He designed us in that way. That was His plan. That was His design all along. That He made us that way, that He made us in His image so that we are able to be like Christ. So it says in verse 29 that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. That we are to be conformed like Christ. That as we talked about last week about being a committed Christian, about wearing that name, that's a big part of it. That Christ is in the name, that we're to be conformed to His image, that we're to be like Him. Now that's why one of the reasons we're to be set apart. Secondly, we're to be set apart because God desires for us to be set apart. He desires for us to be in heaven with Him one day. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy 2, I had verses 3 and 4, but we're going to go ahead and read 1 through 6. Get a little context. But one of the reasons that we're to be set apart is because that a requirement of making it into heaven, a requirement for salvation, is to be different. To be set apart, to act like Christ, even though Christ isn't like others. And so we're to be set apart because that's what God wants. And as simple as that sounds, what better reason to do it? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you're there with me now, we'll start in verse 1. Paul writing to Timothy says, "First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." Then we see there in verses 3 and 4, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That what better reason do we have to be set apart than other than that's what God wants for us? That's what He desires for us so much that it says there in verse 5 that He sent a mediator for us. That He sent His own Son to die for us, because that's how badly He wants us to be in heaven. That Everett talked about this morning about the attitude of our heart, and he talked about the widow who put in the two mites, gave in all she had, that it was that heart of sacrifice, that she was willing to give all she had for the Lord. And in the same sense, Christ wants us to come home to Him so badly that He gave His Son, that He sacrificed His Son on the cross for us so that we can one day be with Him. It's in the same sense of, for those of you parents who have sent your kids off into the world, I don't know anything about that, but I know that I've left the home myself and I've left my parents. And that when parents then have that empty nest syndrome is what you hear about, that their kids are gone and they're out in the world and they would just love for them to come home. They just can't wait for them to come home and for them to see them. And in that same sense, God has sent us out to do His work, and we're out here in the world and He's waiting for us to come home. He's waiting for us. He wants us to come home to Him so badly. So badly that He sent His own Son to die for us. And what better reason than that to be set apart? What better answer to the question, why should we be set apart? Why should we be holy for Christ? That's what He wants for us. That He wants us to come home so badly that He wants us to be with Him. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Philippians, to Philippians chapter 2, in a more practical sense, we ought to be set apart so that others can see Christ living in us. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 14. Verse 14 of Philippians 2. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain." He says here, do all these things, do all things well, so you will prove yourself blameless, so you can prove yourself children of God, he says. Because you will be a light in a perverse and crooked generation. In a world and a society that does not look to God, but that so often does wicked and does evil, that we are able to be a light. In Matthew chapter 5, we see Jesus say something similar here in verses 14 and 16, ironically as well. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14 there, it says, as he's talking about disciples and going out into being all the world, in verse 13 he talks about being the salt of the earth. And then in verse 14 he says, "You are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We see there that he uses the analogy. He says, no one lights a lamp, no one lights a lantern and then puts it under a basket or hides it away. What good does it do if it's just hidden? But no, we put it up on the lampstand so that it shines in the dark places. And that's one of the reasons why we're to be set apart. That's a very important reason why we're to be set apart, is because it sets an example to others. It's that light shining in a dark world, in a perverse and crooked generation, as Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. That's part of our calling. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And then it will cause them to glorify your Father who is in heaven. That an oh so important reason for us to be set apart, for us to be different, for us not to be conformed to the world, as we read in the scripture reading. And so that others can see our good works, so that others can see Christ living in us. Not for our own good, not so others will look at us and say, wow, you know, they're amazing. They just have the best attitude and they're so happy all the time and they're just great, and give the glory to you, but so that the glory can be given to God, as it says at the end of verse 16. The word to be set apart so that God can be glorified, so that we can bring others to Him, so that we can set that example and shine a light in a world that is so dark. I came across a story, a sort of illustration, just a story that I don't know if it's true or if it actually happened or not, but it says that in the American Civil War, when the northern states were pitted against the south, that each side, each army, wore a very distinct battle dress. That they wore very distinct colors, different colors, so that they could tell each side apart in battle when they were fighting. And it says that there was a man who lived near the border between what would be considered the north and the south, and didn't know where to cast his weight, didn't really know where his allegiances lied. And so he decided that in order to kind of stay out of the conflict altogether, that he would find a compromise. And so he decided that he would wear the tunic of the northerners, the jacket of the northerners, and he'd wear the pants, the trousers of the southerners. So he'd wear a part of each one so that he could kind of be on both sides, find himself a compromise doing both. And he found that when the battle came his way, that it only doubled his danger because both sides were shooting at him. And so as ironic and maybe silly as that story is, we see the application for us that it does us no good. It only doubles our danger if we dabble in the world and dabble being a Christian. But that we're to be wholly set apart. That if we're going to follow Christ, then we need to do it wholeheartedly. That we're to be entirely set apart, not just halfway. Because then you will draw criticism from the world and you'll draw persecution from the world for being a Christian. But then towing that line in the world and not wholeheartedly being devoted to Christ, one day you may draw fire from God, from the judge. And then it does us no good. What good was it to draw that persecution from the world and to wear the name Christ if you weren't going to live it and receive the reward in the end? What good does it do us to be half in and half out? But we're called to be set apart, to be holy, to be completely one and the other. That we're called to be different, that we're called to be like Christ. That it's not something that can just be done halfway, but it's something that we have to do with our whole hearts. Now, if you'll turn with me back to the book of Philippians, to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at the how. How can we be set apart for Christ? How can we be living holy lives? In Philippians chapter 4, the subtitle above chapter 4 here I think is fitting, as it says, think of excellence. Think of good things. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 4. It says there, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is anything of excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So So first of all, how are we to be set apart? We're to be set apart in our conduct, in the way we act, in the way that we carry ourselves in the world. In verse 5, it says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." That in the workplace or at school for our young people or wherever you may be interacting with others, let it be known, let it be obvious that you're someone that's easy to work with, that you're someone that's understandable, that's compassionate, that's gentle, that's calm, that's never looking for a fight or never looking to stir up trouble or to complain, but that you have a gentle spirit that's known to all men. That when problems arise or things don't go your way, that you're the first one to say, you know, it's all right, it's all good. It's going to be okay, it'll work itself out. That you're calm in situations like that, that your gentle spirit is known before all men. That he says in verse 6 to be that we're anxious for nothing. That others don't see us as busybodies or who are worried constantly or worried by every little thing of the world, but that we give those things up to God in prayer. And that we live our lives not worried about the little things of the world or the little problems that may present themselves, but that our focus is always above. That our eyes are always focused on Him. That's a part of this how. How can we be set apart? That others see those things. We talked about being set apart, being that light in a perverse and crooked generation, being a light in a dark world. That's a part of it, is living it, is acting it out in your life and meaning it, being genuine. But genuinely letting these things be seen in you. It says in verse 8, it says, "Whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, anything of excellence, focus on these things." That's how we can be set apart. That in all things, Chase mentioned in his prayer that the brother Lewis, the brother Overstreet, talks about stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. That if there's anything good, if there's anything excellent, we're going to find it here in God's Word. To dwell on those things. To keep our mind focused on those things. That's how we're going to be set apart. Because what we put in is what we're going to get out. And if we put in things of the world, then our focus, the things we get out of it, are going to be of the world. But if our actions and the things that we're putting in are these things listed in verse 8, things that are honorable, that are right, that are lovely in the sight of God, things of excellence, those are the things that are going to allow us to get righteousness out, that are going to set us apart from this world, that are going to make us holy in the eyes of God, is what we're striving for. But that's just one half of the coin. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. To 1 John 2, as John writes here, we'll see about not loving the things of the world, about separating ourselves from the world. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says there, if you're with me, it says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. But the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." That we're not to love the things of the world, that we're not to love these things of the flesh that are so easy to get caught up in. And so how can we do that? If one of the ways that we can be set apart is to not love the things of the world, then how can we do that? And I think that goes back to our attitude and our perspective on life. We read Romans chapter 12. We read verses 1 and 2 that Brother Dumas read for us. We'll go ahead and read those. I'll read that again real quick for you. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." That the word world there can also be translated as of the age or of society, of these times. That is that this attitude and perspective that we need to set in our heads, that I'm not going to be like those around me. That I'm not going to be like society would have me to be. I'm not going to do the things that others think I ought to do. But it's this attitude, this mindset, that I'm going to do what's right, that I'm not going to be conformed to the world. And we see that mindset in Bible class out here in the auditorium. We've been talking about Ezra, in the book of Ezra. And in Ezra chapter 7, if you'd like to follow along, in Ezra chapter 7, this is a verse that's been mentioned several times in Bible class recently, in verses 9 and 10 there. As it says, Ezra says, "For on the first of the month he began to go up from Babylon, and go on the first of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, because of the good hand of his God was upon him." In verse 10, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." That Ezra had set his heart, that he'd set his mindset, that he had made up his mind, purposed his heart, that he was going to do what's right. That he was going to be set apart, that he was going to be different. And that he was going to live it, and that he was going to teach others. And he sets an excellent example for us of how are we going to be set apart, how are we going to be different from this world, that's where it all begins. That we have to decide. That we have to make up our minds to be dedicated to it. The theme for this year that you all have been talking about is to be diligently seeking Christ. And that's right there at the beginning of it, is that if we're going to diligently seek Christ, if we're going to set ourselves apart, then we have to make up our mind to be diligent. That we have to set that mindset, purpose our hearts to do it. That's where it all begins, because if we think we're just going to wake up in the morning and suddenly we're going to be better at it, then we're sadly mistaken. But that it takes effort, that it takes work, that it takes diligence to seek God, to be set apart. And we have to set our minds, we have to set our hearts, purpose within ourselves to do those things. In the book of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 1, in verse 13, Peter says there, in chapter 1 and verse 13, 1 Peter, I'll give you all a moment to turn there with me. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Some translations will say, "Gird up your minds for action." Prepare your minds for action. That the connotation of girding yourself up, that when they girded themselves up, that meant that they were about to be working, or that they were about to be running or fighting. That action was about to be taken. That's what signified, girding yourself up. And Peter says, "Therefore, gird up your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action." That it signifies that something needs to be done. That if we're going to set our mindset, if we're going to prepare ourselves to be set apart, set ourselves to act differently, to think differently, to be different from the world, to be set apart, to be holy as Christ has called us to be. That's what it requires, is to put our minds in the right place, and that's where it all begins. That we have to make that decision, make up our minds to do it. And if we make up our minds to do it, if we understand the why, and then we're going forward with the action of the how, then benefits come from that. That there are rewards that Christ has set before us for being set apart. For conforming ourselves not to the world, but to the image of Christ, to the image of His Son, to truly be followers of Him. We looked at Philippians 4 earlier. Philippians 4, we read verses 4 through 9. And in verses 7 and 9 there, we see something interesting. We see there in verse 7 that if we're to do these things, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And in verse 9 it says, "These things you have learned and received, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." That if we are going to set ourselves apart and truly, truly be holy for Christ, conform ourselves to His image, that the peace of God, that the peace of Christ will be with us, that's beyond comprehension. Now, this isn't to say that our life or our walk as a Christian is going to become easier. That suddenly all our worries and problems are going to just fade away because we've set ourselves apart for Christ. But know that it's this peace of mind. It's this peace in knowing that one day I'll get there. The one day the reward awaits me. The one day being set apart is all going to be worth it. We see in Psalm chapter 1 that it says, "Blessed is the man who delights and meditates on my word." Blessed is the man who is meditating on my word, who stays in the word, as we've so often talked about, that Brother Lewis talks about. Now, blessed is the man who stays in the word, who has that peace of God, who is not just in the word but is practicing it, who is living it, and has that peace of mind knowing that the reward is waiting on us. But if you'll flip with me maybe just a page over in your Bibles, in the book of Philippians, to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read there verses 17 through 21. 17 through 21 in Philippians chapter 3. It says there, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." I lost my place. 17, thank you. Sorry. "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He even has to subject all things to Himself. That the benefits of being set apart, that the reward of being set apart are two things. First, that our life here on this earth now has meaning. That it now has a purpose. That because without Christ, without His plan, without the whole goal in mind of going to heaven, without Christ sacrificing Himself for us, that there's no purpose, there's no point. That we could try to fill our lives with pursuing our jobs or pursuing things or pursuing a big family or happiness, seeking it out and this and that and the other. But that ultimately, what would it all be worth? Because as we read earlier in 1 John, the things of this earth are going to fade away. That they're going to pass away and they're going to be no more. But it says here in Philippians chapter 3 that our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That our purpose, our life has been given a purpose, a meaning now, that we are eagerly awaiting the Savior. And that in this time we have on the earth that we're doing His work. That's our purpose, that's our calling, that's one of the benefits of setting ourselves apart for Christ, is that we now have an eternal purpose. Not just a purpose, not just something meaningless to fill our lives with while we're here that one day will fade away, but we have a purpose and a meaning to our lives that will have everlasting results. And then secondly, is that ultimate eternal reward of heaven. That He says that our citizenship is in heaven, that it's not of this world. That it is not here, that we don't belong on this earth. But we belong in heaven above with God. In John chapter 18, as Jesus is standing before Pilate and answering his questions, He says to him there that, "My kingdom is not of this earth. My kingdom is not here. My kingdom is above with my Father." That's the reward that we're seeking. That's the ultimate benefit of all of this, of being set apart, of putting ourselves apart in God's kingdom. And it's not going to be something that's easy. It's not going to be something that's just a stroll through the park, as I've talked about the first week that I was here. But it's something that we have to be dedicated to and committed to, as we talked about last week. But that ultimately, it's worth it. That ultimately, if we set ourselves apart for a holy lifestyle following God, then we will benefit from that reward in heaven above. So this evening, if you're ready to set yourself apart, if you recognize that you are lost, that you're not yet in the right place, that your standing with God is not correct, but that there's still something left to be done, and that the congregation here at Trenton can help you with that, that you can come forward and confess Christ as your Savior and be baptized and be saved, that you can be set apart and begin walking that walk with Christ to one day gain that eternal reward, that benefit, the benefit of being set apart, the benefit of being a Christian and walking in that holy lifestyle, conforming ourselves to Christ. If you're ready to take that step and be baptized and join the body of Christ, or if you're struggling and need prayers from the congregation, you'll have the opportunity to come forward and be helped as we stand and as we sing.